First I was afraid, I was petrified. I'd heard you'd booked your flights and you'd be by my side. And I've been spending so many nights thinking how you'd drink my gin. And I grew strong and I learned how to get along. And now you're back from a non-expat place. And I find you here with that happy look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock or made you cancel your flight. If I'd known we wouldn't have had that very public fight. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Don't turn around now. You're not welcome anymore.
That's where we run out.
Yes.
That's where we run out of words to put into the lyrics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome for the two fat expats.
Welcome to
the two fat expats. I'm Kirsty Rice.
I am Sarah Derry.
And we host a podcast about living a fat expat life.
And also because we are a little bit fat.
Just a tiny bit.
Just although a tiny. You're looking really good.
I don't think. Really?
Yeah, no. You've slimmed down.
I don't think I have. I think all it was my face was so full of steroids and puffy that now it's slowly starting to go down. But I don't think I've slimmed down because I've been on the scales and I'm definitely still right up there.
I think you look good anyway.
Oh, thank you very much, Sess. Okay, so episode 19, series 2, and we're talking about bad house guests.
Now, we were really worried that we were going to get, like, it'd just be tumbleweeds on the Facebook pages that no one would want to come forward with their stories of bad house guests. Mm-hmm. How wrong we were.
And so many. And
yes.
Because expats host house guests all the time, mm-hmm. because we're always begging for house guests, most of
we
us.
We want people to come and visit us.
We're desperate, like, come and see where I am, come and see where my children go to school, uh-huh. come and see my life, my house, what my day looks like.
Yeah.
But sometimes the experience can be bloody awful.
Then they turn up and it's like, oh. When are you going home again?
Sis, tell me about your house guest.
Probably the worst guest house we ever had was a
Did
couple.
Did you just say the worst guest house?
Oh, the worst guest house I've ever had. No, the worst house guest we've ever had. And they weren't actually that bad. They were friends of ours from Melbourne. Matt used to work with them.
Try and keep the details very sparse.
Yes. They came to visit us in Abu Dhabi on their way through to Ireland. So they were with us for 2 or 3 days. She was fab. She was wide awake, wanted to see everything, wanted to drive to Dubai, wanted to do the whole Middle Eastern experience. He, on the other hand, was, I don't know if he drank too much on the plane and it affected him or what, but he was pretty much comatose the whole time.
Wow.
And so we went to brunch, funnily enough, at the Shangri-La in Abu Dhabi. We drove to Dubai. She wanted to go to the diamond souks and do all of that kind of thing. And he almost didn't talk. Like, he was just really, and that's not like him. And when we said goodbye to him at the airport, we're driving home and I said to Matt, has our friendship gone off?
Yeah.
Like, was it too much time between Melbourne and here that we don't have the, do you know what I mean? But then she sent me an email when they got to Ireland and she said, I'm really sorry about him. He was really tired and suffering from jet lag. We just didn't have that same click that we had when we were in Melbourne.
I have had the sick house guest where we were in Jakarta and he got some sort of Jakarta thing, but it was hard to feel really sorry for him because he was living a very hectic nightlife, let's just say, and he was enjoying everything that Jakarta would offer him.
Yeah.
And so I think in his drunken stupor of getting incredibly friendly with the locals, let's just say.
Yeah.
He'd probably partaken in eating something he probably shouldn't have or done something.
Okay.
And he had one of those days where he just, you know, threw up everywhere and was just green and, so I've had that one and stank and, And I think probably because he shared all of his stories of what he'd been up to, it was very hard to then go.
And was he single?
Yes.
And that's a big deal. We've had one of Matt's friends come to visit us who was single at the time and I think he thought we were going to be out on the town drinking, you know, getting on, but we were this young married couple with a brand new baby. That wasn't really in our realm of things to do.
Now, we had some absolute crackers, as we've said, about bad house guests. And my favourite was, and I don't know, I think maybe we keep names out of it this way. We won't say who's told us the stories. But a regular listener of ours, who I absolutely adore, she was talking about when they were married, they offered to have a work colleague of her husband stay because he was having a bit of trouble at home with his wife. And he arrived with someone else's wife. And that person just happened to be another person from her husband's office. And I love the way she's just written, not awkward at all. But, yeah, can you imagine? I can imagine, actually, because I've just seen something like that recently here. But, yeah.
Like, shocker.
Yeah, don't go and stay with and your colleague, with your new girlfriend. Like,
can you say to them, sorry, you're not welcome to stay because of the situation? What do you do?
I guess it depends what your work relationship is too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's just weird and rude and revolting, really.
We had another listener say that her guests ate all of their really expensive cheese and their jam and the prices that they paid for those in Shanghai are so much more than what you would pay for back home and that they ate. And that I can understand. If someone from Australia was coming to visit me and was eating all of my Vegemite that I spend a fortune on here, where I know that they can get it for $2 back home, I'd be a little bit shitty.
Yeah, people don't realise. I had a really good friend's boyfriend came to stay, and he was a creep anyway.
Obviously she's no longer with him.
Yes. But we were in Libya where there was no alcohol to speak of, and you had to either make your own or if you had a really good relationship with someone from an embassy maybe. And so we had kind of stored all this alcohol for their particular visit, which he ploughed through sort of in one night. And I was like, well, there that goes forever, like for the rest of us.
There was no thought there about it.
I think people just don't really understand how you're living, and you can't explain it because then you sound
rude and obnoxious, don't you? Just have to sit there in silence, and then you go to bed at night and you're like, you always have like a fight with your husband and it's all their fault because of the silly house guests.
And you're right, it's the things, the stuff that you bring from home that you're absolutely coveting
you're attached to it, like you almost don't want to use it yourself, you want to keep it there, because you're too scared to use it all up, and then someone else comes in and eats all your violet crumbs.
Yes, we had someone else talking about that with the liquor cabinet, she said, but yeah, the booze is a big one because if you, especially here in Doha, I was talking about this the other day with a girlfriend because she was saying that she's never had a guest, and she's had a lot of house guests here, never had a guest offer to pay for booze because she thinks it's because here in Doha we don't have booze shops on every corner, that's for sure. So we have
there's only one
place you can go, and you have to have an alcohol license to buy it.
It's in Whoop Whoop.
It's out in Whoop Whoop, so you've got to drive out to Whoop Whoop to get there. You don't get inside the building without showing your license, and then you roam around and you buy it.
It's quite a small... there's not a lot of variety for you. It's a very small...
It would be, I guess, like a country town booze shop.
Probably
more stuff from around the world because they cater for everyone. But,
it's very small.
And so usually you don't really take your house guests to the booze shop because they can't get in or it's too hard to get them in.
Yeah.
But you don't want to drive them out to Whoop Whoop to do it. So you stock up before they arrive, and they can't just go down, like, or in other countries you might just go down to the local booze shop and you would buy booze for your guests or for your hosts, but you can't do that here.
And you can't bring anything in duty free here that's alcohol either.
No.
So you can't even pick up a bottle of champagne or something on your way in.
And I wonder how many people make that mistake on a daily basis here because they won't arrest you, they'll just take it away from you. Do you get it back when you leave?
Apparently you do. You do get it back when you leave. See, in Abu Dhabi it's different. You can take booze in with you.
Right.
This is a shocker. So this lady's father-in-law arrived in New Zealand for a month, but the kicker was he didn't have a return ticket.
And that is one for the new players at home.
Yes, just make sure they've asked for... You know what I always do? Ask them to send me their itinerary, their flight itinerary. Uh-huh. So then I go, just to make sure I turn up at the right time at the airport, if you could just send me your... itinerary.
Yes, then I can start counting the calendar marks for how long
from your ear.
I loved Angie, who told us that one of her house guests ran around in her kinky nightwear in the morning.
Oh, inappropriate.
And she's not the only one that said that. There's a lot of people who talked about inappropriate nightwear. And so, yes, we had another guest, didn't we? Another commenter recently who said something about someone was completely nude who was at their
house. Yes, her stepfather-in-law walked around the house nude but also had breakfast with them in the nude.
Oh
my God. Like, Dad, put it away.
Oh, no, that's not good for the kids.
Yeah. Who are these people?
I know. And wearing your kinky stuff, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we don't need that.
No.
No.
We also had someone say that her parents are here, so need she say more?
Yes. I know. And then someone else was saying that their parents were using their razor.
Yeah,
and they
the
mum
used
that.
A brand new razor. And she's like, she knows that it's unimportant, but it was the last straw, apparently.
I know. That's the thing. So many of these things with house guests is you can feel like you're just being a bit unreasonable.
Yes,
like
that you're being a bit precious, yeah.
But I think it's just it just sort of grows, doesn't it,
yeah.
On a daily basis.
And it's just having someone in. I think your home is such a private sanctuary.
Yes.
And then someone comes in, and even if they're great house guests,
yes,
there's an imbalance. As soon as someone from the outside comes in, it's not the same when there's someone else living in your house.
Yes. We also had someone else talking about the guests that they had.
Sorry, I just snorted.
And they were sort of friends of friends. But she said they brought home what she called working ladies after a big night out.
Ladies of the night.
Yes, could you imagine?
Gross. That's actually when I would say, you know what, enough's enough, see you later.
Yeah.
Here's your hat, what's a hurry?
Yeah,
I wouldn't stand for that.
I'm just wondering the logistics of how that all works too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like do you introduce them to your host?
What's your name?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how much?
Yeah. Look, she's only going to be here for 45 minutes. And that this same person was really rude to their housekeeper.
And that's the biggie, says, because we were talking about this before, is that, you know, in all the different countries that all expats have lived in, sometimes there's an opportunity to have house help and sometimes there isn't.
Yeah.
And it can be incredibly uncomfortable for friends from your home country to come and live with you if you have staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the answer to that one, because I have had friends that have come that have just jumped in and loved it and become really chatty and friendly with staff and have just loved and appreciated every minute of it and have bought staff presents and, you know, really just loved the experience and asked questions all day and wanted to know how it all works and whatever. But I think too, well, there's a couple of things, because I've also had the thing I didn't like once was I had some guests who really wanted to see, oh, can I have a look in her room? You know, like that's icky.
I've had, the only thing that we've had is when our parents came to stay for the first time. Obviously, we didn't have a housekeeper living with us in Australia.
Yes.
And so it was that, oh, they felt bad that she was going to be washing their clothes or making their bed in the morning.
Yeah.
But after the first couple of days, it was just,
It
was normal. But it was also having my parents and my in-laws watch me being an employer.
Yes.
Because I'm used to it now.
Yes.
It's part of my everyday life. Yeah. I am someone's employer in the house. And I think it was very awkward for both sets of parents when it's not like I'm walking around, do this, Marissa, and do that. It's not that, but it is.
Yeah.
Marissa, do you mind doing this because I'm going here? Do you know what I
mean?
And it's so second nature for me.
Yes.
But then to see it through their eyes, I have that, oh, am I being a bit of a princess,
and
it's not the norm back home.
And I think because people don't see it as being an employer,
there's
something very strange with, I mean, there are certain countries you grow up in where it's second nature to have someone in the house working, and definitely not in Australia, so it's weird for us.
Yes.
It's just weird to have someone living in. But, you know, other people that, you know, you and I both know have grown up with always having help.
Yeah.
But it is that thing. You are an employer, and so you have, like, you have a contract in place and you have a set salary and you pay overtime and you have a working relationship with someone where you have those conversations.
Yeah, whereas some people, I think it was strange for them to see that in the morning that I'd sit down with Marissa and we'd write, this is where I'm going to be being today, this is what you need to do to make this happen.
Yes.
And it's like sitting down with your secretary, your PA, I guess,
but
it's in your home and you're talking about house duties and things like that. And it was a bit confronting, I think, for our parents at first, but now it's so normal and everyday for them. I think the big key, if you are going to be a visitor with someone that does have help, is that they're doing extra in their job to wash your guest clothes or what have you. And it's always, I think, good for the guest to either buy a present or leave a little tip. And we've been very fortunate that all of our house guests always give Marissa money. They give her a big hug at the end of the, you know, that they engage with her and ask her questions and things like that. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think pay them. Pay them and give them, because if you don't, we will.
Your dirty undies. And we did have someone that didn't pay and I gave Marissa extra.
Well, that's my thing. If people don't pay, we're obviously going to, because they're cooking for an extra two people and they're washing for an extra two people and they're tidying up after an extra two people. Yep. So you pay them, you know, for that. So, maybe keep that in mind of just – and also the questions you ask, there's a line of what would you ask someone professionally at work and where would that be crossing the line?
Don't ask to go and see someone's bedroom.
No, don't ask to go and see someone's bedroom. And, ask about their family, but don't ask about, you know, the details of the house that they grew up in and, you know, what they had or didn't have and whatever. And I know we have a fantastic woman who works with us who, bloody hell, can you imagine if I'd got sick and we hadn't had Helen? I just horrifies me to think about. But I know with Helen, because she's from Ethiopia, people have this whole 1985 world age Bob Geldof idea. And they talk to her about Ethiopia as if she was out, an uneducated person out in the desert starving.
Yeah.
And it's like, Helen grew up in the city. Helen had a job in television before she moved to Qatar.
Yeah.
You know, for Helen, it's a total economic reason that she's moved here because she earns a shedload more money working in Qatar than she did in Ethiopia. Yeah. But she grew up in the city.
Yeah, like my big kicker is telling everyone that Marissa actually has a degree and I don't.
Yes.
And like everyone else here, she's here for the cash.
Yeah, so I think sometimes people get this a very different attitude about staff. So I think, if you – the best advice would be to come – with a present or, you know, factor in a little bit of an extra tip and treat them with kindness and you'll have a fantastic time because, having staff is amazing. Having someone do your washing is amazing and having someone wash your dishes and do all that, that is amazing. But just enjoy it but be respectful of
Yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely. So someone had their brother-in-law that was only going to come for a weekend. Oh, no, they stayed for 4 months.
4 months.
You know, I lived with my brother-in-law for a few months. Yeah, he overstayed here. Well, I was the house guest in – Matt's parents lived overseas for a year, so Matt and I lived in their house and took care of it, and then his brother came back from overseas, so it was the three of us. And I adore my brother-in-law. I adore him, but I will never live with him again.
Right. Well, yes, Leslie said that 4 months later she found herself yelling at her husband that everybody living in this house needs to pull their weight. Because she said he never moved from the lounge and he never contributed.
That's right.
Yes.
He smoked and his clothes weren't washed unless she did it for him.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Yes. That's not going to work. The other overstay was Brandy had a groomsman who stayed for a month after the wedding.
Yeah, like that's the one time where you're actually probably doing it every day. You don't want your groomsman there. No. That's when, like, you're testing out every room in the house, aren't you?
Yes, and you're not – yeah, sometimes you're doing it twice a day.
I know, and it goes for longer than 5 minutes. That's when you're in your honeymoon period. You don't want someone else in your house for that.
Oh, God.
And, again, someone who brought all of – this is a big thing.
Yeah.
So this reader is Dutch. and had obviously asked her friends to bring the things that she loved from back home that she couldn't get in her expat location, and they then proceeded to eat everything that they'd bought for her.
Yeah, which kind of defeats the whole purpose.
That would send me over the edge. Oh, I wouldn't say anything to them, but Matt would cop it. It'd be somehow I would make it that it was his fault.
Because if you're going to bring me cheese twisties, violet crumbles, cherry ripes, and, you know,
don't eat them when in a couple of weeks you're going to have as much of them as you can when you go back home.
That's a big one. Oh, yes, the perfect phrase that fish and house guests start to stink after 3 days. I love that. That was from Jane, and that was very, very good.
We had Angie, who said that her guests told her that they were there for a holiday and they wanted to relax and they didn't want to cook and clean, and they expected her to do everything for them.
Yeah, that's right. And we had Janet said the same thing. She said, a lot of people think that because we live in places that they'd love to go on vacation, that we must always be on vacation
now,
as well.
Now, this is a big thing, because even though you're coming to visit us, we're still living our daily life. We still have to go to work. We still have to do school drop-offs and pickups. There's homework in the afternoons. There's activities. Our life doesn't stop just because you're coming here on a holiday.
Yeah. And I find that balance really hard, because you want to drive people to the museums.
You want to be a good host. You want to show people your city.
But like we've seen today, Sez, you and I have driven into town. We're currently sitting in the lovely Shangri-La conference room, because we're about to do something really silly and make a couple of videos. But we came into town and we got caught in traffic, and we were both like, what's this about? It's 10 o'clock and this should not be like this, but it just is in Doha. You can't rely on that things are going to work the way that you think they're going to work. And so I have found, you know, we've had quite a few guests here. You spend so much time in the car because because they look on the map and they go, oh, well, the Grand Mosque is only 5 minutes from your house. But they don't realise that, you know, when we try to get there, it's actually going to take an hour and a half to get there.
And I think also a city like Doha, our public transport system isn't up to scratch yet. So it's not like being in a London or a New York where you can say, here's your weekly travel pass. Mm-hmm. This is how you work the subway. That doesn't happen here.
No.
You either rely on your host to drive you places, or you have to rely on a driver that may be new to the country and doesn't know where to take you. And English is not his first language.
Yes.
And it just makes it very difficult for a tourist to get around here.
Yes.
Without your host taking you everywhere.
Yeah. So usually your day, because I mean, I always find usually you're off to a late start because you've stayed up late with your guests, you know, the night before. And then you're kind of trying to keep breakfast as calm as possible when usually it's a complete shit show, but you don't want that shit show to be happening while
you're
guests.
And you're pretending to be the perfect mum. Hi, darling, you haven't packed a PE clothing, and that's okay.
Oh, look, you nearly forgot your clarinet again.
That's so okay, funny, darling. I love that about you.
Now, let's just check the roster, because the dog's currently eating my leg. And then, you know, rushing to get your kids to school so you can then, and trying to get your bloody guests in the car with the kids from school so you can then get them to
it's
wherever.
It's like their whole life back home is switched off, and they don't realise that they can't see the mirror image, that they can't put themselves in your place and how they would feel if you were with them.
Yeah. And I found the last lot of guests we had, which was fantastic, I love them, but they would say to me, oh, so what do you usually do at about this time? And I'd be thinking, work. Yes. But we're not doing that because you're here and I can't sit down and work in front of you without feeling really, really guilty. And it's really, you know, at that stage when I was freelancing as well, it was really hard to explain what sort of work
especially
you were
doing. Especially working from home. I think that's a big thing. If I was going to the office every day, well, my in-laws and my parents would just have to cope with that. But I think when you work from home like we do, it is very easy to, you know what, I'll leave that till later and I'll go and take you where you need to go. And that's why I do love having my mum stay, because I can say to her, you know what, Mum, I need to lock myself in the office for 2 hours and then I'll be with you.
Okay, so we had a lot of people talk about good house guests as well, and what a good house guest would do, which I thought was
fantastic. Because I, after having, you know, bagged all these people and talked about bad house guests, I actually don't think I'm a very good house guest.
I know that I'm not.
Yes.
Like when I go home, I revert to being a teenager again, and my mum does my washing for me. She does my ironing for me.
Yeah.
We do cook together now, but she probably does more of it than I do. I just, you know, walk around as if it's my place and she has to entertain me. So I don't think I'm such a great house guest either. And I'm the same when I go to my in-laws. Oh, darling, let me do that for you. Darling, I'll do this for you. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
that's fine. It's
Yeah. So I think I'm a bit more conscious. What I hate about me at home is I quite often like pile the kids in the car and we head into town, which is like a 45-minute drive. So, you know, usually I'm my late disorganized self and in the car. And then a friend will say, oh, come on by or do whatever. And I'll think I'm completely empty-handed and, you know, running behind time. And I think I'd love to be one of those people that always had a box of chocolates in my handbag or,
always had the hostess gift.
Yeah, the bottle of wine or whatever. Yeah. And I think I'd like to get a bit better at that, of making sure that I had that stuff for the drop-ins and the pop-ins and the whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think people at home are very good at that. I mean, I know my friends never come to my house empty-handed.
Same.
They always arrive with flowers or food or something.
But when you go home, it is more like you're on a holiday than you're at home, so you don't think about, except for my best friend. You know, my best friend puts me to work every time I go and stay with her.
Right.
She calls me the Persian princess, even though we don't live in Persia. We don't live in Iran. She calls me the Persian princess. So as soon as I stay with her, she props up the ironing board.
Right.
She hands me her outfit for the night out and she's like, get to work, start ironing. I'm keeping your feet firmly on the ground.
That's fantastic. But Rebecca gave us some great tips as well, didn't she?
Yeah. So she said, always have a clear plan of how long your guests intend to stay and you want to have exact dates and times. That a guest should cook at least one meal during their stay, which I think, or take the family out for
dinner.
That's a nice one. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Have a plan of what they want to do on their days, which I think, especially if you're in a city like a London or a Hong Kong, there's so much to do and see. So have a plan in place if you're going to go and visit a friend.
Yes.
Do your research like you would if you're going on a holiday.
Yeah.
You just don't decide to go somewhere without any plan in place of what you want to see and do.
I have a lot of that here, though. I very rarely have people that come here and say, I know what I want to see.
Quite frankly, you can feed Doha in a day or two.
But, I mean, there are things that you can pick out.
Yeah.
But people are like, I think that's the worst one, too, is when you're getting excited with the, hey, why don't we go to the Museum of Islamic Art? And they're like,
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. All right, let's go to
the Grand Mosque. Because people have their minds made up
sometimes
of what a place is going to be like.
Yeah, I know. And that you're right, people do come with their minds made up. They're quite often not open to things. And they're the guests that make the really stupid comments when you're out and about and you want to slap them around the head.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, not funny, sunshine. funny.
Yeah. Rebecca also has a good tip of, if you're the guest, make yourself scarce from time to time because the family that you're staying with still needs alone time.
Yes.
But my mum takes it too far. So as soon as, like, we've eaten our last bite at dinner, right, I'll go to bed, leave you two alone. Like, mum, as if we're going to be doing it on the couch, you know what I mean? Like, sit with us, watch TV with us. But she's so thingy about being that mother-in-law.
But maybe that's good advice for the host as well, make yourself scarce. Like, let your guests have your house for a few hours on their own as well.
Yeah.
Because I think too often I worry about leaving our guests alone. And maybe they'd like to have the house to themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd just
like about you.
Gwen was saying that you should always arrive with a care package, which I thought was a really nice one.
That's a great tip,
well,
especially stuff that you can't get in your expat location or that costs a bomb.
So we had a lot of people talk about people that came and just treated their houses like hotels and then they came and went and
never offered to pay for groceries and things
like that.
Yeah, that's
a bit shitty. Yeah, never offering, never telling
what
they're doing.
I don't think I'd ever take the money, but it's nice to be offered.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't take the money.
I don't take the money, but it's nice that they've
Yeah.
The thought that counts.
Mira was saying they had some guests where they were having a big fight with each other.
They were going through a relationship crisis. So they weren't talking to each other.
No.
Awkward.
Yeah, that's very awkward. So, yeah, maybe just make sure you got yourself and your husband all sorted out before you.
For me, that would be I'd have a bit too much to drink at dinner and then I'd try and fix them. I'd play relationship counsellor, I reckon.
Oh, we had someone who was talking about having a teenager come to stay. It was like the teenager came with their Xbox and sat in the room for 2 weeks.
Yes, and then got the irks, I was going to use a bad word then, that his Xbox didn't work in there because of the voltage. And that he had a problem because they had said to him, look, we don't want you playing Grand Theft Auto around toddlers. This has just given me the biggest flashback. When I was in year 10, we hosted a German exchange student. Oh. It was the most bizarre experience of our life. Do you know, he didn't... Now, I've since been to Germany and I've met German people, so I think this guy was just weird on his own. He pooed in the shower and we had to tell him that you don't poo in a shower, that you use the toilet. My dad bought him an Akubra because, you know, very traditional hat that you would wear.
Does anyone really wear an Akubra?
Molly Meldrum. Yeah, so it's a traditional Australian hat, would you say, kind of like a cowboy hat?
Yeah, Paul Hogan.
Yeah, so dad bought him an Akubra as, you know, take this back as a trinket. He just sat there all night at dinner wearing it, and dad would have to say to him, well, you know, it's not polite to wear your hat. You're a Cooper. That he was the weirdest thing I've ever.
I nearly thought you were going to say he pooed in it.
No, really pooed in the shower.
Oh,
yeah. He was
maybe
strange...
there was something. Yeah, there was something.
I think there was
on.
Something a bit odd. Yeah. Bjorn, his name was.
Right.
I've just had him. I haven't thought about Bjorn in years. I'd erased him from my memory.
Now, what was that about to avoid the weird, do we offer money where they take it, pick up some local vouchers at any restaurant?
Oh, that's a good idea, and give them to the host.
That's a very good idea.
Or offer to babysit their children while you're there. That's a good big one.
I have had people do that for us over the years, and yes, that's
mammoth. That's a good one, yeah. Show interest in their host family's life, their kids, their pets. That's a good one as well. So get involved in their day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Like I know when my parents and Matt's parents come, they always at least do one school pickup and go in and meet the teachers. And when I go back home, I think one of the things that I feel guilty about is I'm not around for my friends' children.
Yes.
So when I go back home and I'll say to my best friend, she's like, oh, what should we do? Like, she feels that she has to entertain me.
Yes.
And I say to her, I just want to spend the day with you doing what you do. And I go and take the kids to school. I pick them up. I go and have a look in their classroom. The kids love it because... Yeah. They've got the crazy cool auntie that's come from overseas to see them, but then it takes the pressure off my best friend having to she has to entertain me.
Yes.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, no, I do. And also I'm fascinated to go and see everyday Australian life, aren't you?
Yeah. Sadie's never been to school in Australia, so the last time I was in a primary school was when I was there.
So, Sez, have we covered everything?
I think we have. Have we come across that we really don't want... We do want house guests.
Yeah.
We do want people to come and stay with us and see where we live.
Yeah.
But just if you are the house guest, think about it before you...
I think it's just that thing of understand that we've got a normal, boring suburban life.
Yeah, we just do it in the sandpit.
Yes. And I think what you've just said about how you love going to school and you love being involved, I mean, that's what a visit should really be about.
Yeah.
Yes, you've come. And I think, I remember when I first moved to Jakarta and Lizzie was a baby, I had two girlfriends come to stay and neither of them were in relationships or had children. And so they came to Jakarta to really see Jakarta. That's what they wanted to do. And I had, I think, at the time, a 5-month-old baby.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more still sleep deprivation, getting my life organised. And I just wasn't, I mean, I'd like to say I was a woman who had babies and just powered back, but I never did.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, these women that were out at the supermarket 24 hours later and back at the gym, I wasn't that person. I was the person that took 12 weeks to get out of their pyjamas.
Yeah.
I just wasn't really great at it. But I can remember I'd organised a big lunch because I wanted them to meet all my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, that was really important to me I'd made this connection of women. Like, I had a group. We were all just became fiercely sort of close mm-hmm. because we all had young children and we all were in Jakarta together and it was all new for us.
Yeah.
And we used to just giggle all the time and, you know, just sort of getting that whole new baby thing.
Yeah.
And they were my baby group and whatever. Yeah. Well, you couldn't have got to water and oil, you know, like it was, I don't know what I was thinking organising it. Mm-hmm. It was dumb and stupid, but I really just wanted them to meet my new friends. And, of course, they looked at my new friends and just saw us, I guess, as a collective group as, oh, they just sit around doing nothing, having lunch all day, giggling at the locals, uh-huh. where it wasn't. It was our survival mechanism for new baby, new life, trying to work out this city. And, it was just awkward and uncomfortable and horrible. I mean, we moved on and moved past it.
Yeah.
But, like they were all, well, when are you going to drop us off here and when are you going to take us to this? And, you know, have you met this person across here and have you done this yet? And I was like, I don't think you realise I'm really struggling to get up and have a shower.
Get in the shower,
and put deodorant on every day. So, I think it's if you can find that happy balance of, yes, you're going to see a few sites, but really the whole thing is get involved in your host's life.
Yeah,
and because that's what they want to show you is their everyday life.
Maybe as a host we need to be honest about that before someone comes. Yeah. Send the email and say, look, you know, for us, Sundays are, well, you work full time.
Yeah.
But for us with the podcast, Sundays is almost a write-off for us.
Yes.
So I think in the future I would probably send an email to those that were coming and saying, look, Sundays are not a great day for me, so on a Sunday I'm going to get our driver to come and pick you up. He's going to take you. And maybe just be honest and say, my life still goes on. I can't press pause. Maybe that's the way to do it.
I agree. Okay, says social media.
Right. We are on a Sunday. We're recording on a Sunday. My night of nights is coming up. I have watched the Oscars every year, I reckon, since I was probably 9 or 10. Like, I used to, you can see that about me, can't you?
I would say that you probably have your acceptance speech.
Oh, I do. My best friend and I, we still, in our late 30s, rehearse our acceptance. We will have a few drinks and then we play Oscars. Same girl that calls me the Persian princess. So as of tonight when I go to bed, I will be switching off from the online community.
So they don't ruin it for you.
If you ruin it for me, I get really upset. So I text my parents, I text my sister, the best friend. You don't contact me, don't message me, because I like to be completely surprised because I will sit there bawling my eyes out.
Yes.
My best friend has been in love with Leonardo DiCaprio since he was about 14, and we think
this is his year.
It has to be. There's been too much talk about it.
Yeah.
This is his year. He's been nominated 4 times already.
I've heard there's an amazing scene with a bear.
Yes, he gets mauled by a bear.
Yes.
And I think it's Leo's year, so I'm really excited for this one.
Right. So that's
going to
be
your thing.
You
won't hear from me until tomorrow afternoon.
So instead of social media, it's a why I won't be doing social media.
Why I won't be on social media. And I'll put a link up. There's a really good video I found the other day about Oscar's awkward moments.
Right.
So people falling over as they go to accept their
awards.
Yes,
I saw that too.
People that swear when they grab their award. Yeah, it's quite funny.
All right, so says last night Henry Hot Dog and I were home while my other two children went to the tennis with G, and we were looking for something to watch together, and we didn't want to do baby movies, I was very quickly told. But, of course, it's that whole everything's too grown up and whatever.
Yes.
So we went down the documentary route and we saw Twinsters. And now
I've heard of this. I'm desperate to watch it.
Yeah, what a story. So the story is, Korean girl grows up in America. She knew she was adopted, grows up in a family with two brothers. She's very, she's a bit of a Sadie. She's very into dance and acting and she's quite dramatic. And so she ends up in her career going off to acting school and then she becomes a bit of a YouTube person. Mm-hmm. She's in a YouTube clip with a guy who is quite well known. It starts with her sitting there explaining her life growing up. Then she says, I got this tweet from someone someone in London who said, "You look just like my friend. This is so freaky. Check your Facebook messages." So she goes to her Facebook messages, and there's a message from this girl who has grown up in France but is also Korean adopted, and she grew up in France but's doing fashion design in London, and she sends a note saying, "Hey, we look exactly the same.
Yeah.
This is really freaking me out. I've seen that you're also adopted and from Korea, and I hope this doesn't sort of sound too much like stalking, but your birthday is on exactly the same day as my birthday." I know. And so they start talking, and then they Skype, and you can just see they are exactly the same. Wow. Not even just a bit the same, they are exactly the same. And they start saying things like, you know, really random, "Do you like cooked carrots?" "No, I hate them." "Me too. I can't eat cooked carrots." You know, "Do you like salami?" "It's my favourite. I love salami. Do you like this?" And they make this funny face, and they can both do this certain noise where they kind of make this pop. So they text each other and they say pop all the time when they text each other, and they become very, very close very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they arrange to meet.
Yeah.
The woman in Korea who gave birth to them is denying their existence the whole time. "No, I didn't have two babies. Right. It didn't happen." She's obviously at a place in her life where she can't accept it, or she has to keep it quiet for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But when you see them meet each other, it is the freakiest thing, because even though they've been so close online, when they meet each other, they can't, they almost can't touch each other, because it's like if you saw an exact you right now,
it would absolutely freak you out. Yeah.
And they kind of just keep poking each other, like you would poke someone if if it was you in the mirror to see if you were real.
Yeah.
And that's what this girl just keeps doing.
When you've got the screen in front of you, when you've got the computer screen in front of you or the phone in front of you, it's still not real yet, is it?
Yeah.
And did they talk, because I've got a few sets of twins in my life where so one of my best friends from here in Doha, she's a twin and her sister lives in Italy.
Yeah.
So they don't see each other all the time, but it's, you know, with twins, there's that connection. It's like it's their right. Did they grow up feeling like...
That's what I found fascinating. Because
you know how twins, they almost share... Do you know what I mean with twins?
The one who grew up with the two brothers in America, she didn't. She grew up feeling like
there was something missing.
She didn't. The one who grew up in France grew up as an only child, and she always felt like there was something missing.
Wow.
And her mother, she tells a story how her mother would, she'd say, "I'm lonely," and her mother would go and get another child to come and play with her, and she'd say, "No, I don't want to play with that child. I just feel lonely."
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Because there's that twin connection
there.
There
was something missing. Whereas the first one, I guess, had it filled with brothers. And whatever.
Yeah.
But what was also fascinating was that the two parents that adopted these girls, when they met each of the other ones, they felt like they knew them and that they had another daughter, because they looked exactly the same, had the same reactions. And she said, "When her cheeks turn a certain colour, I know how she feels. When she does this, I know what she's thinking. When she does this," because they'd grown up with these little humans that they knew the other one. And the brothers said, "We don't feel like that we've just met her sister. We feel like we've gained a sister, that we now have two sisters."
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch it. So it's something you can watch with a younger child.
The only problem was when the girl who's the YouTube star, and I just wish more docos would think about this, because they stop a huge audience, is there is swearing, because it's swearing. It's a very adult kind of YouTube concept. And so... you hear there's the F word a couple of times in general conversation.
Yeah.
Now, because Henry's my youngest and my eldest is 15, we've had to have the whole conversation about, "You're going to hear this, but you must not say it."
Yeah.
So if you're a family that has that deal with your kids, go ahead and watch it. But if you're not there yet, don't because there is a bit of swearing.
Just talking about that, I took Sadie to the movies yesterday. She loves superhero movies, right?
Yeah.
So I took her to see Deadpool. She wanted to see Deadpool. Yes. I wasn't sure what it was about. But I knew if there was anything bit untoward, it'd be cut out here. So I'm like, we'll go and see it. Well, they cut out any type of romance, but do you think they cut out the mother F this and the mother F that? So I'm sitting, and it's really violent. So if you do have younger kids, it's a really funny movie, Deadpool, but it is extremely violent. And I'm sitting there going, do I pick her up and take her out? But she's really enjoying it. Like, I had a real...
Oh, look, we didn't we didn't swear at all in front of the kids for years and years and years. We were very tight on no language. Swearer. And, yeah, we never did. But then we got friends who are massive swearers and use all the language in front of their much smaller children than our children. And, you know, the first few times it was so awkward because we'd all sit there going, oh, hang on, no, these, we only have those conversations outside. Yes. We don't have them here. And I could see my kids just going, wow.
This is a whole new vocab. Yeah, Sadie's not allowed to swear and she knows she'd get into big trouble if she dropped anything.
Yeah.
I tell her you have to wait until you're 18.
Right.
But she hears me drop it all the time in the car. Yeah. I can't help myself.
Well, it's funny because now that I have a 15-and-a-half-year-old, she still doesn't swear in front of me, but I know that she does swear and because, you know, we're not Facebook friends for that exact reason because her friends swear. And she said to me, Mum, you don't need to see my friends swearing and you don't need to see any of that. And that's absolutely true. I'm a big believer in that. My parents didn't witness my friends swearing and didn't know everything that went on behind closed doors. I feel the same way. But, yes, she told me not to go to Deadpool with her because I would find it.
It was mofo this, mofo. It was – it's a really funny movie, but I was sitting there and I said to Sadie, comes from, I think we should go. I think this is a bit inappropriate for you. Like, as if I'm asking my child. Do you know what I mean? Like, you tell me how to parent you, Sadie. Do you think we should go? And then we go to the car and she said, you know what, Mum, you are the coolest mum ever letting me see that movie. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone has a different ruling and also it depends whether you've got other kids as well and little people and whatever. But, yeah, the stage that we're at our house, it's like you're going to hear it, but if I catch you saying it. So if you've
seen Deadpool, we can watch Twinsters.
Yes. You definitely watch Twinsters. Okay, Sis, I think that's us the week.
Now, next week we are taking a break.
Yay!
We're taking a one-week break only to fit in with some stuff that they're doing here at the Shangri-La because now that you're back, we're jumping into doing some videos here at the hotel. So we do have a one-week break and then we'll be back the following week where we're going to be talking, we're following on from the series of Great Holidays because that was such a good episode. It was so popular that we want to talk to you more about the good holidays that you've taken.
That's right. From memory, when we said we'd do it, we wanted to do it so that if people are thinking about Easter breaks and spring
and getting
breaks,
ready to book your summer holidays and things like that. So, have a think about some good holidays that you've been on and let us know.
Yeah, great. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye now. First I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how.